You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Mad Men After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Mad Men After Show.
All right. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing, and we are doing another AfterBuzz TV podcast, Mad Men, Season 5, Episode 6, at the Codfish Ball. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by Kevin Undergaro.
Hello.
Josh Gardner.
How's it going?
And producing over there at the booth is Phil Svitek.
Welcome, welcome.
All right, today, great episode ahead. Megan has a baked bean breakthrough. We got Sally seeing more than she bargained for. We got Peggy getting a proposal of sorts, and, of course, the in-laws came to town. So
I mean, just loaded, loaded.
Layered and loaded.
Layered and loaded, and just the genius of these guys and some of the connections. And you know the one thing I'm always looking for, you know, John, we work here, is the symbolism.
And
the
symbolism.
The
subtext,
particularly the production design. Mm-hmm. And the two things that struck me in this was the color red. And you see the red in the very beginning with Sally.
Yeah.
You see the red book the Emil is reading. Mm-hmm. Then you see the red door in his apartment.
Yeah.
In Don's apartment. Yeah. When they're fighting, that door's closed. There's a red drink. Mm-hmm. Rogers with his first wife.
Yes.
Shirts up at the end, the red dress at dinner that worn by Peggy when she has her dinner, and then you see a red dress worn by Megan and Megan with the red lipstick, and all through the episode. And I was wondering, well, I think my opinion is that it symbolized both love or you know, what is love to these people, or a more
you know what love is? Before we fully go on,
stop. Not on this show, Phil. No. You can't. It's not what they're going to want to hear.
All right.
What is love?
I was going to say this. How about showing us a little bit of love by going to iTunes real fast commenting and rating on iTunes about what we do? And also real fast, Catherine Tulich is not here tonight. We were supposed to have an interview that she did with Allison. And we're not going to do it this week because she's not here. We'll do it next week when she returns.
And she's exercising, her power over us as a female, like the show.
Yes, yes.
Exactly. She's emasculating us. Yes. We need to turn the tide.
Real quick, but speaking of rating and...
Yeah, iTunes, yeah, don't...
Ellen Butler sent us something last week regarding the Howard Johnson thing. She sent us a link to the photos for the Howard Johnson that was probably filmed for the episode. So thank you to her for giving us comments and ratings.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, please, you know, we don't ask for much, but if you can rate us... Continue to rate us on iTunes. You guys have been great. Mm-hmm. Leave your comments, and definitely tell friends about us. You know, we need the help. I mean, people want us to do more shows. We do, I don't know, almost 40 a week, which is astounding. And we actually, the many times if we ever get a low rating, it's because, why aren't you doing Homeland? Why aren't you doing
what we're not doing?
Ice Road Truckers, you know, whatever. Yeah. And we want to. It's just... We need more people, we need more funds. Right, and all of this helps, believe me.
Okay, so what is love represented then?
So I think that's part of it.
Yes.
It's passion, relationships, love, whatnot. And then it just hit me as I was doing my notes, it's also communism. Right?
Well, there you go. And Emil being the
communist socialist,
Maoist,
whatever. And again, just, I mean, how talented are you as a writer or a creator? Whether this is Matt Weiner, whether this is the director, the writer, I don't know. I tend to think it's the leader of the show that drives this, that demands this.
Yeah, I would imagine that. They steep all of it into not only the time, but because you got the Red Scare, all that kind of stuff, 50s, 60s, that kind of thing. So I'm sure they're layering.
And by the way, you saw the look from Don, who's even on LSD, and I mean Roger, in the old old guard when he says he's a communist. I was like, what? Like, you saw him get really serious.
And then Don's even very vague. He said a communist, socialist,
it's all whatever. It's all the same thing.
We don't even know
anymore.
He doesn't
like me because I'm rich.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And the second thing that I noticed that resonated throughout the episode was eating and food and dinner.
Right, that was a big
theme. It was
theme.
All through it. You know, lots of quotes in here about...
it was all around meals and food.
Just when they're munching on Chinese food, the boyfriend says, I didn't get enough for dinner. You know, and then... You know, when they have the meeting with Heinz, it's, oh, no, we don't want dessert. You know, I think you should have it. And, you know, when the mother, Peggy's mom comes in,
she brings a cake and
says,
wants to take
it's very delicate. Leave it in the box.
Yeah.
Which, so, and then, of course.
And then she says, I need my cake.
Right.
Because I'm not going to let you celebrate with my cake.
And by the way, is it not just a thing on getting your cake and eat it too?
Yeah.
Like, no, you're not going to get your cake and eat it too.
I mean, that's exactly what, what they think of
and
living
And of course, the fish, which we'll talk about.
Yeah. Oh, and then the whole thing of the spaghetti, you know, all that.
So those are just general notes, but it's
to go along with your red theme too, I'm constantly amazed on how the show as a whole. Every little detail supports the writing for the show, and not to mention that, like, this is one of the few shows I noticed that during mid-season. I mean, we're in episode 6 out of 12 or 13. You reach a median in the season in their journey of the show, and this episode. I mean, all the references with Red, all that, and the even the music. You have this sense of turmoil, which is the whole theme of the episode. That last shot sums it up perfectly of the parents and Megan and Dawn and Sally, of them sitting together looking just miserable.
Yeah, and they're
because
they're not connecting at all.
And like
the
line with the father to Megan saying, you know, this is you like this ending, and she's saying it's just the beginning, where, you know, the closing of Heinz, of the Heinz client, you have this door of possibilities for the next step, and really it's this awesome median of the season, this great middle episode.
It happened in the middle. And the other color that you see is blacks, just so I want to throw that in there.
Sure. Yes.
All the guys are wearing blacks. The boyfriend, when he's having Chinese food, he's in black. Dawn's in black with the black. So I'm seeing it was mainly the guys in their black. So, Phil, say what you're going to say, though.
Well, I was going to say this. John, you guys probably know, and Kevin, too, you're a history major about communism. But just in general, the way it was kind of explained to me, especially was, all right, communism, it's a great kind of utopia, but there's no real step of how to fully get to what it was supposed to be. It was never really a full communist society. Mm-hmm. And so, in taking these next steps, especially for Megan, like, okay, you have an ultimate goal, but how do you get there? Peggy, she wants marriage. All right, but how do I get there? Well, I guess in this case, it's I have to move in with him first and all these different things.
Okay. There you go.
Well, should we start talking about in-laws?
Oh, yeah.
Or as a friend from home says, outlaws.
Outlaws.
Because it's all through this episode, starting with grandmother-in-law, a.k.a. Bluto.
Yeah. Yeah, carrying her little... Well, of course, Sally's on the phone with... I can't remember the gentleman, little young man's name.
Bishop.
And she's taking that, which was classic.
And then, by the way, again, I saw the preview. Phone. I said, okay, he's going to be bigger, older.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the way kids all spring up in a year.
Yeah.
And so we see much more mature.
And it was great because, I mean, I'm old enough to remember. It was before my time, but I'm old enough to remember having the one phone in the house that had the really long cord.
Oh, we
all had
do.
To stretch to the, and so I just liked that they nodded to that. And that not only did they use it, but they used it to trip up grandma.
Now, what do you make of the fact? Now, obviously, her and Bishop have been in touch. They're very close.
Yeah, they had been talking.
We continue to see Sally grow up, almost some sexual tension. You know, we just see so much going on. I don't want to. We're going to probably talk about her later.
We will.
But as far as the, her, I guess we'll talk about it later. I want to talk about why they had her actually be able to come through and take care of the grandmother. But with the ice and everything
else. For me,
else.
That just all stemmed to get them to the house. Got to get the kids. To
I
the
think
house.
Yes on the exterior.
Sure, absolutely.
I think the subtext of
we
it
gotta get
is
them there, put them
is
in the same
being
room.
The doting. Is she going to be the doting wife?
Right.
Partner. Look how she is with Roger at the dinner.
Yeah, and growing. Look how she's growing up.
Is she trying to act older than her?
That's
age
what.
Yes.
That's what I think we're seeing
is she
a progression
being
there.
The troublesome. child of a broken home, like right. that kind of style.
But she was grown up enough to know, elevate the leg, put ice on
it. Ice on it and keep her calm.
Keep her calm. It's like, wow, she's growing up. Then when we see her in the outfit, oh, she really is growing. Oh, no, not too
not
fast. Take the makeup.
Slow
and
down in the boots. Da. Still looks cute.
And you have, you have that great line from Don where it's like, yep, take the makeup off and the boots and we can go.
And he says, you know what makes me happy is a young girl who will be soon be wearing makeup, but not tonight.
Because you rarely see him act so much like a father with his own kids. I mean, we really haven't seen much of the kids since.
Yeah. But it was very much like a father then. Mm-hmm. And then here she is in her grown-up outfit at the grown-ups table, and in my estimation, she's eschewing children's food like spaghetti and eating the fish.
Well, I was saying I grabbed all you guys because when she was at Megan and Don's, the little brother said she doesn't like fish,
right.
So they made her spaghetti.
Yeah.
And then you see this fish that
full-on fish,
really
with
was
the fish,
a
fish. It's not even a fillet. It's the whole fish.
By the way, I never got fish.
Yeah,
I never got how like or lobster. Like really, if you why don't you just put a dead squirrel like looking up at me, staring at me, and I'll just eat it. Like how do you eat something that? And so anyway, it couldn't be any more unappealing. Not only that, which I think was purposely done.
Yeah, because you get
and there
fish
she
head and
takes
the eyes and everything.
She takes the nibble.
She eats underneath, yes,
because I feel as though she was trying that hard to fit in. Like and I'm
no, gonna, exactly,
and
no, exactly agree.
And no like childish icky face.
Yeah, she's
very
like,
very proper.
No.
With
she was doing the whole. She's very grown up. And then, but then, oh no, not so grown up, because she was not ready to see what she saw.
No.
Well,
no.
There's where we see God spit up. So,
especially after the playful banter
so,
she has
yes,
with Roger.
Well, we're going to go over the awards dinner, I know,
that's
later
yeah,
in
we'll
the show. But so for the in-laws, who do we start with?
Well,
Megan or Peggy?
I think you start with Emil. I mean, as soon as that guy came, it's just like, oh my God.
Goddamn frog. I was just, you know, and again, I'm the lowlife on this show. I'm not as smart as you guys. I'm just like effing Frenchy, like typical, like really?
Oh, he's French Canadian and a Maoist or whatever. He's like, how many
and
things?
A scholar,
yeah.
Like.
And a scholar, exactly. Exactly. So not what Don is in his. Although I think Don respects it in some degree. I mean, they seem to anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought we were headed for a good episode because, you know, he's carrying the stuff and it's like, you know, I see you brought your work. So to Don, I feel like that would be like, oh, okay, you know, we're on the same page, you and I, F these women, we're going to work.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And clearly not the case.
Well, but they made a big stink about him carrying up the bags, like, that's beneath you or something like that. What was the deal?
Oh, no, I don't think he said it was beneath him. He's like, I think he's basically saying, I'm surprised, that Mr. Capitalist Pig, who takes advantage of others.
You wouldn't just
That's what I think. And then,
that,
you know,
that's what I mean. It's
and like he had that
him.
Quote, again, genius quote, when he looked at the decor,
yes.
and he spoke to it, and he said, "Eyes in politics are having a fight."
Yep.
So talking about the, you know, the conflict that's going on within Don, I mean, to him, that's what it was. Like, okay, you're carrying the bags, mm-hmm. and you're pretending you're one of the guy, you're one of us, you're the working class.
And he says that the house was exquisitely decadent.
Yes.
So and he was having a hard time with his communist thing. It's like. Which I thought was great later on as we talk about the awards dinner when he's talking to Megan too there, which was great. He had some other good lines.
Well, I love the dinner at the house still where he started asking how much do you pay for rent and it's like, no, we bought the house and it's always about money.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know, in the dig at the wife when, you know, she specified what kind of drink she wanted and he said, oh, don't be fooled by me. Yeah. She's not particular.
Yeah.
And when he said that, I knew the wife was going to bang somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
She was definitely going to like.
Yeah,
she's gonna,
I'm proof of that. Yeah.
By, says by the way, you know,
like, very French.
Very French.
Yeah.
Big time womanizers.
Yeah. Very.
Sorry
very
to tell you that.
Yeah.
But,
and that was the day too. That was the day of the time. So, but I really like. I mean, because I, you know, when you first get in there and they're having the dinner and it's that awkwardness of, you know, how many, I don't know, you guys aren't, but I've been with the in-laws and on many
outlaws.
Kids, outlaws.
Excuse me.
And it can be extreme, especially in the beginning, extremely awkward and uncomfortable and all that stuff. And I thought they captured that very accurately.
Yeah. And it was interesting to see Don be such a good sport because we're used to seeing him be in the position of power and be just over it.
Right.
And fall in line, and
but he gave deference to the dad and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He was careful and cautious, so it was kind of interesting. So, but we also had not only did Megan's family come into town, but we also had
Peggy. One last thing about that. I just want to add also, you know, the father of Meghan's father, he seemed to represent aspiration a lot too. Because and that one of the things that I will give Don credit for was the fact that he introduced him. Hey, this is a doctor, and you know that's someone who after a certain amount of time, it's their right, it's their title, and so he's kind of bestowing that upon Sally, and then certainly that's what he's kind of preaching to when the dad has his talk with Meghan in French and English.
Here's where I actually did respect the father. The father was watching, Emil was watching, and Meghan was watching Don interact with Sally.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, it seems like he's coming off as disrespectful. It seems like he's coming off as this, you know, extreme communist who's just over everything and likes nothing. But he actually does become a dad for me in that moment. He's talking to Meghan, and he says to her, "Great, but
don't let
you didn't do what you wanted. You know, and I take that as you wanted to be an actress.
Yeah,
that's what you wanted. And so let's cut all the BS aside about being a communist and what you're supposed to be in life and all this hoo-ah." Taking that away, the love for a father to a daughter, you know.
Because, he's and all along we've learned, I'm his favorite. This is what Meghan's saying. Meghan's his favorite, and that's why mom competes with Meghan, all that other stuff. We all saw all
and by the way,
dynamic played out very interestingly.
John, I hear some laundry about your life, because I think you'd like that. No, you wouldn't like that.
No.
I just know your dad... You know, John's a very humble guy. John's one of the smartest people we know, and could have gone to Harvard, could have gone to Stanford, and you had other aspirations.
I did.
But I've always felt like when you've told me stories about your dad, he didn't verbalize it the right way, but his frustration came from the fact that he saw you as someone who was supposed to be Bill Clinton.
Yes.
And so but it was based on that. And you're not the only one that I've seen this. I've seen it with... My old boss, I know his daughter, was very successful. Probably made a couple $100,000 a year. And I was like, wow, you know, and to me, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it's a ton of money. And I was like, wow, you must be so proud. And it was like, no, not at all, because she should have made millions. She married a drip who held her back and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've seen that. I get it.
Yeah.
But here's the irony. And you're speaking about John and you could be speaking about Don. It's you're not in a bad position. But you know what I mean? Meghan's job is not a bad job. It's not like, someone drinking and they drunk their life away. You know what I mean?
It's not.
And so that's the weird part about it.
But it's not. But you know, Phil, where I come from.
Yeah.
I hate waste. Even if I see it in sport, I'd like to think I'm such a passionate person. But if it's an athlete I don't know and I see them mailing it in or they don't have the career they should have, it's so frustrating because
we'll talk about more with Hines and Meghan. You could say that, you know what, she's not an actress, but at the end of the day, she's utilizing her full potential for something else.
So, I'm not a sitcom writer, but what do I? I write beauty books for Maria. So, and I do them very well. What? Who said that? What?
All right.
So, hello. Anyway.
Yeah, but I thought it was interesting, too, because Dad also said the wealth that you've been given because of
you
is bad for your soul, so which is not a communist...
That's what I'm saying. I think he dropped all that because most of that stuff is crap, and especially from professors.
Right.
You're not out in the world.
Ivory Tower.
You're not
stuff.
Working. Right. You're easy to pontificate
from on high.
Really.
Exactly.
So it was nice where he just became a dad and what he was.
But there's two things going on there because it's his aspirations for her because of he has grand illusions for his daughter who he makes the world of.
Right.
And then she has her own about, well, no, but this is my life and that you've also raised me to have a brain and free will. It's my choice to live the life I want to lead, not the one that you think I should lead. So those are two different things.
Well, how about just, like Phil said, how about giving me some props for what I did do? And by the way, so now just I'll, bring it on to myself.
Uh-huh.
You know, my mom is just like, wait, what are you doing? Okay, I see that you've done, you've written a book and you started AfterBuzz for Maria. Maria. That's great. What have you done? And all I'd like to hear is like, hey, wow, that's great.
That's
AfterBuzz
amazing.
Is great.
Exactly.
This book is amazing. Your movies.
And you know what? I think
the, I want to hear the end of that.
There's a very nice thing about it where Pete's talking with the father Pete shows him what he does, and that is, in fact, exactly what you're talking about, that kind of, like, you're doing a good job type of thing.
And by the way, and I'm glad you brought that up, Phil, props to Pete.
Yeah.
He was amazing. He totally baited him, and he hooked him, and then the father was kind of like, too shy.
Yeah, you got me.
And so it showed that Pete's really, you know...
He's very,
He bounced back from what we've seen him go through.
Yeah.
But all those guys are, you know, such a contradiction.
Yeah.
In my experience, but
so anything more on your mom?
No, it's you just would like to hear, like, but wait, like, you know, our network gets 800,000 now downloads a week in less than a year, like,
and
really?
Think, yeah.
And it's just,
what have you done?
But you should be doing,
and that's exactly, Megan was in the same thing
on a sitcom, or you should be writing a sitcom, or you should be making your movies, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I get it, and it's universal, and I guess. You know, I see where the father came from, and I like how he did just become a dad. I also liked her too,
being the quote self-actualized daughter, in a sense that she's saying, "Yeah, but I am doing something.
I am doing something." But at the end, she was like, "Because believe me, when my mom's done with me, she's done with me. I'm like, because I react just like Megan, where I'm like, but I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm enjoying my life. And at the end, I go." Maybe.
I also felt too. He really tried to cut deep with her, because when he started off the conversation, he almost asked her what her real motives were. Like, the way he asked it was just like, "Are you really doing this? Like, why are you with?" Almost like, "Why are you with Don?" Really.
And then
that turned into almost the, you know, he wants you to do what you wanted to do originally.
And I think Maria's, you know, I look at my own girlfriend, and I know her dad thinks, you know, again, you know, she's supposed to be where she's at now.
Right.
And I think if she'd ended up with somebody that put her in a kitchen or whatever, he'd be the same way. I mean, there's just a couple of those kids that are expected.
Right.
And when they fall short, and especially if it's a partner that's involved, it's, you know, really, you know, and it's upsetting. So
let's move on to Peggy bringing mom to town.
Capitalist pigs like we are? Can we talk about that real fast?
Sure. All right. Yes. Speaking of capitalism, you want to talk about capitalism? Yeah.
Capitalist pig. Pui.
Well, communism. Since we live in a capitalistic society, we shop, we buy things. And if you're going to buy things, you usually do it online. And if you do it online, you're going to do it at Amazon. So if you'll notice at the AfterBuzzTV.com site, you'll find a little button. What's it called? Amazon. It's just Amazon, right?
Yeah, it's an Amazon banner.
So if you're going to buy at Amazon anyway, come to our site first, AfterBuzzTV.com. Click on the Amazon button and then buy. That way, you'll buy what you've always wanted, but Amazon will be nice to us and give us a little kickback. And
you can buy us what we need, which is a noiseless air conditioner.
Yes, that would be nice. Yeah. That would be nice. Well, you know what? It costs you nothing, and in this case, we are pretty much the communists and the socialists at AfterBuzz.
That's right. We are.
Because we charge nothing. We give you all this free stuff. It's this effing hippie place with like 200 hoes. It's just like everyone just loves each other and supports
commune.
Each other.
Hey,
and
man.
Like, and they don't know, like, someone's writing it. It's costing somebody money.
Yeah, that's right.
Me.
But it's not you. But, it's not the listener.
But, and at some point, I think we have to become capitalist.
So anyway, this helps us. This helps you. It helps Amazon.
Please.
So
it really
everybody
helps.
Wins in this.
So if it's you.
Do yourself a favor.
You can tell family members, friends. It literally take you an extra second
it's
or
one
two
click.
Off of your sale. If you're going to buy at Amazon anyway, then go to AfterBuzzTV.com, see that banner, click on it, and then go make your purchases. Again,
you
costs you nothing more, but it really helps us.
Yeah,
and
so
just to be
you.
Crystal clear, we're not asking you to buy anything in particular.
No.
It's whatever you were going to get
buy everything
anyway.
In particular.
The air conditioner would be perfect, though.
Yeah.
Guys, if anyone's looking for anything.
So, Peggy, she's expecting a big deal, so, you know, because she has first the Chinese food with Abraham, and that was just weird.
Wasn't
awkward.
That the first time he's been in the office?
First time I've seen him. I don't think he's ever been.
You guys, why was he so uncomfortable?
Because what he talked about, he's never seemed to have time together, and they always have to, you know,
never been able
lot.
To see her. Actually working, and I think the fact
last
that it,
week we had that thing with them saying, "I, you know, we can't, you know."
I got news for you guys.
What's that?
Mom's right. Mom's right about him
using her
being a douchebag.
Oh, sure, yeah, he should have.
He couldn't take the fact that he's not getting all of her attention. She's right. getting attention. She's comfortable. And that's why the mother, like, raises an eyebrow mm-hmm. when, oh, Peggy made a ham.
Yeah, Abraham?
Peggy made...
Which is his favorite.
Which, to me, says a couple of things. Yeah. One, why is my Peggy, who's the smartest one in my family, who's the pioneer that that went out and is gotten into a man's trade and been successful, what is she doing with an Abraham making ham? Ham, baloney, bullshit.
You saw
right?
that line.
And he goes, it's my fave.
Exactly.
And so
her face just wrinkles right up and she goes... Oh.
Because it's, it is all about his deal. He does want his cake.
Okay. Here's why I went with it. Yeah. He's Jewish, so why would you be making ham?
He said it's his fave.
I know, but that's why I think she was going, wow, you eat ham and you're Jewish?
It could be that, but again, I think it's both the layers.
I do too. I'm just saying.
I think to see
and again,
so
what
surprising.
Does that say about this guy?
Yeah, well, he's not really in his
right?
face.
She walks in his apron, holding everything with the hot plate, and it's like, okay, hold on, let me put this down.
Yeah, it was a Peggy we haven't seen before.
Yeah, it's not something you see.
And she's always trying to have it, and
doesn't it relate to what Emil said?
Which isn't, part?
Meaning, like, you're better than this.
Yeah.
Isn't it the same thing?
But again, here's what mom thinks and expects for Peggy, and the parallels made with Megan and Dad. But here's Peggy and Mom.
But I believe what she said. He's gonna wait.
He's gonna practice on you until he gets someone to marry. And I agree. No, I don't disagree with what Mom's saying. But the parallel I'm making is that Mom thinks Peggy should be doing something else, something more, and Peggy's trying to have this life, which is. This life here and a home life. She's mm-hmm. trying to do it all. So she has her own aspirations. That's why there's always going to be those generational clashes.
But I think the mother would have been fine if they were married to have the home life and the work.
I honestly think, because of Jewish.
Yeah,
Mom would have a problem with whomever for whatever.
Probably right.
Because Mom will always think that Peggy should be doing something else.
More.
But I really,
well, and after she gave up her baby in season two.
Yeah.
I mean, the mother always disagreed with that, but then to see her really take on this role, and then all of a sudden to see her just fade into almost the wife role, you could just see her disgust in that dinner.
Dessert's very delicate. Leave it in the box.
All right, I'm gonna. Here's a poem by Charles Bukowski. There are worse things than being alone, but it often takes decades to realize this, and most often when you do, it's too late, and there's nothing worse than too late. Yeah. And for me, you know, and speaking, the mother giving him the example of, all right, first you're going to get a cat, then after 13 years you're going to get a second cat. And so that's
13,
the life.
No, no, keep going, Phil. Then after 13 years you get your third cat, and then what?
And then you die.
And then you're done. No, and then you're done.
Yeah.
So.
Amazing.
I think, what a philosophy. That was amazing. It was great. Go ahead, Phil. You were finishing up.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, she's adhering to that type of quote, and, you know, and Peggy, where she feels like, you know, she deserves love, and she's always looked at Joan as, you know, the person to look up to, and even today, like, oh, you know, you get dumped.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she always feels like she needs somebody in her life, and you know what? That, for her, may not be the case. She might not need somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's her Achilles heel. She thinks she needs to have everything. She thinks she needs this because there's something missing in herself, and she's looking externally for that instead of supplying
it for herself. I'm telling you, if they ever have a flash forward on this show, Peggy's the one that's going to be running a giant company at one point in time. And what I think you're seeing is...
But only if she gives that up, that idea that
she's... No, but she's going to get bruised and battered, John, along the way. But she's a masochist, so she's going to hang in.
Yeah.
And I just know, seeing any of the... I've been around some female pioneers, and I see what they go through. And by the way, a lot of big-name hosts whose names I don't want to mention.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear, becoming friends of the stories and what they went through and what they sometimes still go through.
Yeah.
And they're not doing it all perfectly. They're faltering. They're trying to, how do I host this show and still be a mom? How do I host this show and be a wife? You know, how do I host this show and maintain my dignity or maintain? And it's really, really hard. Yeah. So now with her, that's what I see, because although Joan is very zen, and great with the advice, whatever, at the end of the day, Joan is just a secretary. Like, she stayed in that comfortable place. Sure, it's easy to give it, dish out advice and whatnot, but Peggy's the one that's leaving the nest, leaving the comfort zone, and she's getting smacked around.
Yeah.
And these are the natural things. And I know it might not make any, it might not be relevant to this episode, but I feel like she's the one that's the big giant success at some point. And these are the natural things she's going to have to get battered and bruised mm-hmm. along the way.
In order to excel.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, mom says, yeah, he's going to use you for practice until he's ready for marriage. It's just harsh when she said it. But, you know, that's just like a mom to just like, wow, cut through everything.
Yeah.
But I also thought, you know, this was the time when people started living together. So, you know, and she's, why do we need a piece of paper? So I know she's trying to convince herself of that as we think.
You have the gap in the lifestyle from the 50s to the yeah. branch of the 60s mm-hmm. where she's like, you can't be living in sin. She's like, well, we're living together. It's
But the mother yeah. did say, here's the thing, it's not so black and white where the mother is the real old guard. She says, mm-hmm. everybody does it. Just don't, why yeah, do you have to say anything?
Exactly.
To
why you have to throw it yeah. in my face, which right. is the argument we get a lot these days for why do gays have to throw it in our face? It's the same argument. We've had it for generations.
I go back to the boyfriend. And, you know, him, even at the dinner, she's like, I'm hungry, which, again, it's all about the food in this episode.
Yeah,
it's a great metaphor device. And then him saying, I guess I can get somebody's attention.
Yeah.
You know, and that's his big thing is now
yeah,
he's
can't
got...
get hers attention.
Now he's got her pinned down, yeah. and basically he is going to have his fun with her until he gets his wife.
Yeah, and how about... But, okay, do you think that's all it is for him? Or do you think that for him this is a big step? Or do you think he's really afraid of marriage? And
I think the way he was all bratty at that Chinese food dinner, I yeah. think he's going to reveal himself to be very self-centered, and he wants
I think
her,
at some point he's really going to want her to knock all this
and
off.
And he's very needy, mm-hmm. and he's yeah. but he's going to want it to be all about him.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the line of when yes. is... When do you think it'll be time for you to give up this... Yeah,
your little hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. She's in red at the dinner, and then the next day in the office, she's in gray. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very sweet, the conversation with Joan. And,
And
it was
actually
interesting.
Getting advice from her, yeah.
And it was
I think you're talking about the first one or the second conversation?
The second one.
Second
the
conversation when she comes back in and Joan sees she doesn't have a ring on.
Mm-hmm. And she's
I think it's awfully romantic.
And she says, husband has a piece of paper, but big deal. The piece of paper, the army's more important.
You do see the great way of how she'll expose that truth that you know is bothering her, but she'll still remain so cold and just guarded. Very professional and guarded.
Yeah.
Whereas when Peggy goes to congratulate Megan later on.
Oh, she's
in her same character of like, congratulations, you know, yeah. I should feel jealous, but I'm not. And as soon as Megan turns away, you can just see her face go like, oh, I should have. Like she's resentful at that point, but she's just not as good at hiding it as Joan is.
And every time even you see her smoke, it's like she's not comfortable. Can I have a cigarette? Mm-hmm. You know, the last couple of episodes, like the last week, they had that close-up of her smoking the cigarette, and they dissolved to the other scene. Like we're seeing more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're seeing Don smoke a lot more. Did you notice now in the last?
Mm-hmm. Especially this episode with the cancer dinner.
Yes.
He was smoking quite a bit.
Yeah, he's smoking a lot more.
All right, so since we just talked about it, let's move on to the Megan and her big breakthrough with baked beans. Mm. So, because we just
I loved the line when Peggy, when they announced it, and the coworker said, oh, boss's wife had an idea.
Yeah, but you know, Peggy says, was it any good?
Yeah.
Well, it was better than anything we had.
Exactly. He admitted it.
So it was a big to-do.
I thought, you know, I really thought they were going to play upon the fact that the boss sticking up for the wife and build more resentment.
Right. Yeah. But they didn't. Well, at least they really, didn't. They didn't hear. They might.
Because in my experience,
yeah.
When someone you care about, whether it's a girlfriend or even a best friend or whatever that's working with you, and comes up with a bad idea, usually the trolls.
Yeah.
We'll never give you that credit.
Exactly.
They'll always say, but...
If you listen to our season 4 finale podcast, like we kind of made that prediction, so where Megan was kind of going to trump Peggy to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now we're midway through the season, and so...
She did what Peggy couldn't do.
And Peggy went the other way.
And only because it goes back to... Last week, you're lovesick, and they're all lovesick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so her relationship too, it's kind of causing her to stumble a little bit.
Yes, yeah, and the more she pays attention to it, the more she puts energy into it, the more she loses focus at work.
Yeah,
and even you know for Megan when she talks about in the pitch and she takes it all the way to they have a colony on the moon.
Yeah,
and seeing the moon and how symbolic was the moon to the '60s, John? Right. It was huge.
Oh, I mean, sure.
The fact that we visited the moon and the fact that it was the first time.
It was the decade of going towards the moon.
We were even able to photograph Earth, you know, from the moon. And it represented so much of hope and going
achievement.
Forward.
Exactly.
Achievement.
What we could do.
And
society.
So for her to abuse that, I'm sure wasn't.
Yeah. Well, and,
the
you
symbolism
know,
of that wasn't
yeah,
lost.
Yeah, because we were in. Currently in the decade of going to
and it was the linchpin of her pitch basically showing the fact that no matter what time it is and it's a triumphant
some things
future
never change.
And the great line from the CEO of Heinz, it's the future. It's
all
I ever wanted.
Okay, now speaking to that point, what did he say last week with Peggy? He said, stop showing me what I asked for and
give me what I want.
Right. And finally this week we get
Megan works.
That's all I've ever wanted. So there's the full resolution of
Megan works almost like a grifter mode of whispering to Don and then just casually bringing it up. Yeah. Like
I mean,
no,
she is
Plant Man,
spot
nicely done.
And now compare her, again. We've talked about this before, but compare her as a partner to his first wife.
Not only that, but let's use the parallel because they made a great parallel last week with how Peggy, or was it last week when Peggy lost the account when she came forward and tried to be Don in the meeting. Was very vocal and in his face. And how did Megan do it? Whispered in an ear. It was very, you know, she seduced him, so to speak.
The smiles and the, we weren't really going to bring it up.
Yes,
but.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So she didn't try the full-on assault. No, she did the oblique approach, which is very successful in this regard.
And the fact that, you know, she bonded with the wife. And the wife spilled the beans.
Spilled the beans.
Sorry. No, I walked into that one.
I enjoyed it.
Not to mention, did you see the look on Don's face when she said, Don loved it. We were in the kitchen and there were three generations in the same roof, under the same roof.
Oh, yeah.
And just with Don's past, you can just kind of see that and go, you just see him.
And I have to say, you know,
hide
it when we'll
for just a moment.
When our company will do network pitches,
yeah,
that's exactly how I love to do it. And you know,
is the casual embellish
and just like she did.
Yeah.
And when that knucklehead has to open his mouth, I said, "That's Maria." Every time in a meeting, you know, Maria will say, you know, my girlfriend will say something.
No, it didn't happen like that.
Sticks the foot out and trip you. Yeah.
I love the wife who said,
"Yeah,
can I get some more coffee?" And it's like, "No."
Yeah. Shut up. Oh, my God.
It's like, what, do you not hear what's going on in front of you?
Yeah.
That's totally not present. You know, come on. That was great. I mean, and all of us have been in those meetings. Like, would you shut up?
Please shut up.
You're so close.
Shut up.
You don't know how tenuous this is. Oh, God, that was great. So, but she hits it out of the park. And she really, I mean, I like the metaphor. Oh, we have baseball in Canada. I mean, it was. She hit a home run, which is great. So, and very forward-thinking and all that stuff. So that
but the thing that sucks is this is as good as it gets.
Oh yeah, that line is a great line. And that's what a sad line coming from Peggy. She knows now. She barely got her foot in the door. She's just comfortable there.
No,
you know,
it's just such a masochist.
That feeling.
And she's done.
Good.
That's it. That's never going to get any better except for that feeling that I almost had.
Poor Peggy. I mean, even for the coworkers to say, and I don't want to backtrack. You know, he's too good looking for you.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know. But I think someone like that is just going to, like I said, throw herself into her work. And
yeah.
Well, that's where I felt like that dinner almost felt like it was her showing off Abe to her coworkers for their approval. And then, of course, as soon as Abe left,
And it's hard because her work is now, Megan is taking her steam at work. You know, she's no longer going to be the favorite.
Nope.
And tragic.
And not only that, but Megan's better looking, and by the way, the boss's wife.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I get to compete?
Oh, and Roger was great when he went into their office and said, "Oh my goodness, you two are actually working here." And just the whole idea. I mean, as soon as she said, "You know, please tell them it's your idea," she's still uneasy with the idea. The idea of if she succeeds, people are going to think it's just Dawn giving her the credit,
right?
Or that they'll hate her.
Yeah,
yeah, and so it's going to cause rifts everywhere.
Yeah.
Speaking of Roger.
Yeah, let's move on to Roger.
So, I mean...
I thought this was a great episode for him.
Awesome. And just the LSD trip.
Oh, yeah. He's loving
it, man. His aftermath from that.
Yeah. And I was, you know, because we saw that. That was the one thing I took away from last week's coming up episode, or coming up, whatever you call it. He's going to milk this for a while.
I loved his conversation with his ex-wife, where he just brought it up, and she said, "Well, of course you did." And then of her... her curiosity gets the better of her, and it becomes this upper class proper conversation about
about LSD.
Mm-hmm. Right. What was it like?
Yes.
Was it good? Was it? Do they recommend? Like, it was a really interesting conversation. But then, I mean, that whole experience for him is
Mind altering.
Yeah.
And clearly was to some degree. I mean, you know, he's certainly not being the self-pitying one that he was in the last few weeks.
No, he's more upbeat. He's,
he's still more in charge, and he's more at ease about it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could just see how the banter between Megan's mother and Roger, his banter with them at the bar, where he said, "You know, I'd buy you a drink, but I think they're still free."
Yeah,
and just it came so easily for him that night. Like, it was. He's certainly become a changed person. I'm eager to see how much more has changed with him. Mm-hmm.
Do you think... Well, who's the guy, famous director? I'm going to have a brain freeze now. He directed The Doors and Wall Street.
Oliver Stone says...
Savage is coming out this summer.
I can't wait for that.
He says flat out that the reason he is pro-legalization of drugs is because it does open your brain up. And he claims that he never would have had any of the breakthroughs creatively were it not for drugs. Mm-hmm. And I remember him being on Bill Maher's show, and Bill Maher actually agreed with him. And, you know, you have to think, like, is Matt Weiner kind of making that statement here?
I don't know.
I
think he is making the statement just because one of his character is, but whether or not he actually believes it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I think
because really possible? Well, cause it seems like it's really done some good stuff for
him. Sure, clearly you can have breakthroughs. The problem comes in when you try to work under those conditions. You can't get a hell of a lot done if you're always stoned or on LSD.
Yeah, it won't work.
You might have a creative breakthrough, but you have to back it up with kind of a sober ethic.
You know, speaking about his ex-wife, notice how different she looked.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't look so much like the housewife. She looked like... you know, high society businesswoman.
Yeah, she looked at first until he said I couldn't recognize her until he said, you know, when we were married.
Yeah, exactly.
But to see her, she looked like.
Well, and I think that was for many.
I thought she was working with the Cancer Society. I thought she was this bigwig that he's trying to work a client out of.
Like. And I thought, okay, they did that for a couple of reasons. One, I'm sure because of his experience. She looks different to him, so therefore it would be good if
we should look. Yes,
we would see her differently. Two, she hadn't seen him in a while, so you know she's going to want to look good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, and she knows that they broke up.
Yeah.
So there you got that too. So she's going. Oh yeah, I'm going to remind him what he left behind.
Yeah.
So there's all that going on.
I thought it was cool. You're paying for us after all. And that you know.
Exactly.
And by the way, a '60s divorce is paying for everything for the rest of her life.
But a very adult conversation between the two about everything. You're still paying for it.
And she has that great, almost that great sense of closure in that line, saying, "You know, I used to think I got too old for you."
Yeah, when I realized
it turns out
you're the one that got too old.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was a great conversation between people. And those are the kinds of conversations you have between people who had been married very close and have now had some distance and can look at it with some objectivity and don't... I mean, they didn't have that... seemed to have a lot of anger and ill will at the moment.
Yeah.
So they could really be honest. And those are the best conversations because you can actually really have some insight into each other.
Can we talk about Sally on her date with Roger?
Oh God!
See, now I'm curious to your thought. As soon as he started saying you're going to be my date, because you had reacted differently than I had, and I was curious what you thought about that.
I think she wanted to be older, and we kept seeing it, and I think she was taking it serious.
Yeah.
And he
of course wasn't.
He's a charmer.
Yes.
Right. And he's having his fun. Go get him, Tiger. And she's doing it. And what a great... that kid is going to be one hell of an actress.
Yeah, she was terrific.
She just deadpans, go get him, Tiger.
Yeah.
You know, keeping the straight face.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was a little cringing because I was cringing because I go, oh, she's going to get crestfallen here. But however this turns out, it's not going to be good for her.
I mean, I thought it was this great step because, especially the transformation in when they come home with all the dresses, and she's still in her older clothes, her child clothes essentially.
Yes.
And then she gets changed, and all of a sudden she's an adult.
Yeah.
In the living, like everyone
trying to be,
trying to be an adult, trying to prove that she's that she should be taken seriously. So all through the dinner, when Roger gives her the littlest bit of real attention, of serious attention, she grabs onto that and it's like, this is my chance to prove that I'm more than just, you know, a little girl.
Yeah, and here she's talking, she calls him Papa.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to be seen as the little girl
she,
or the daughter,
Papa,
the, not
may
daddy.
I?
And the one who looks at her as something other than a child is Roger.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course she's going to, like, because that's what she wants, the male attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then only and then completely she, traumatized to see.
As soon as that happens, you just see the look on her face. She immediately, she immediately sinks back into the safety of the of her childhood.
Yeah, and
persona.
The last line, how's the city? Dirty.
Dirty.
She knows.
And back on the phone with Bishop.
Yeah. Originally, when that came on, we had such a perfect shot, and I thought that was going to be with at the end of the dinner. I thought that was going to be the end of the episode.
At the table,
music would come up, fade out, and at the start of that little piece, a little teaser at the end with Bishop, I was really crestfallen. I'm like, how can you not end the episode on that shot?
Yeah.
And then her line is just that little joke right before the credits of, you know, how's the city? It's dirty.
It's a great bookend. I mean, started that way. And I mean, that was terrific. Yeah. But that, you know, that shot at the dinner table, they're all there.
You also had the waiter come by and he said, are you finished with that? Miss. She's like,
once
yes.
Again, calls her miss,
like a little girl again.
Yeah. I finished with that and takes away the drink
that
Roger had given her, the Shirley Temple.
And so this awards dinner.
Yeah, this is the big awards dinner.
And every CEO in the world's there. Yeah. You know, it's great. Dow Corning makes makes dishes and plates and napalm. And he's just bombing around like he's amazing.
He was great.
That's GM, and you better remember all these names.
Like, yes, exactly.
But the worst part is when Don's like, yeah, they'll give you a desk full of awards, but they'll never hire you.
No.
Oh, yes. When
That's
he tells,
what's
then
his name's telling it to
when
Don.
When he tells
yeah.
Don that...
Because you bit the hand that feeds you.
Yep. You,
and it's true.
Basically, you turned on somebody. Why wouldn't you turn on us, right,
Don? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you're going to do that to them, why would we bring you into our...
They'll give you awards, but you're never going to get help from them again.
No.
So, exactly.
And he's and the look on his face, like... like he never realized it. Like that could possibly be a consequence. It's like, did you not... But I thought he was really shocked by that.
He was definitely shocked.
That's his turmoil at the end of the episode. That's why he looks so
It's like, crap,
lost.
What did I do?
And is it, and are we seeing him make, as we see Megan show she's amazing, are we just seeing him kind of start to stumble?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you know, before that, for him, the big thing was, like, am I a hypocrite? You know, we're especially with his meeting with Roger, you know, we're hypocrites. Why are we going there?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the realization is, crap, I am a hypocrite.
Yeah,
and that's why
the conversation
like
he had with Roger is like, you know, what does it care what I... No one... What was he saying? What does it care how I felt about it, or why did he write it? And he was thinking that nobody... What difference does it make?
Yeah.
And then he finds out at the end it made a huge difference. He had no idea. And I was surprised. I said, how could you not? This guy's usually sharp. How could you not see that? Yeah. I mean, it seems kind of obvious, doesn't it?
He is, but God, sometimes, you know, when everyone kisses your ass, John, that's usually you can
lose
make that kind
objectivity.
Of mistake. Yeah.
All right. So, but the dinner looked nice, didn't it? Didn't you want to be there and win an award there?
I just can't deal with the smoking. It's my only thing about... It's the only reason why I don't really engage in too much thought of time travel.
Yeah. Because of the smoking.
I can't deal
with
it.
Drives you crazy.
I
couldn't
deal with it.
I completely understand
that. And by the way, like, think of the people then. You weren't even allowed to not like smoking.
Oh, yeah. Was,
they'd be, yeah, look at you, like, you had 20 heads. You just had to sit there and just...
How about... I'm sorry to interrupt, but let's talk real quick with Julia Ormond. Does a fabulous job as Megan's mother.
She was great.
And then just a little... I mean, the conversation she had with Roger at the bar, and then, of course, afterwards, it's just... She was terrific.
Yeah.
I hope we see more of her. She was great.
Yeah, you wonder. And, of course, you know... we see Bobby all grown up, and so he's, you know... Bishop.
Bishop, okay.
And he's half naked in the
yeah, what would that... What?
I just think we're... It just was a lot... This was about sex, sexual tension, love. That's what was the red, the colors.
And if we could touch...
Of course,
and
he's
if
in
we
black.
Touch on Roger and Megan's mother again.
Yeah.
Just the way that scene is portrayed. I mean, if the violence or the gore in, like, Breaking Bad or Walking Dead wasn't proof enough of how far AMC... Of what they allow to put on the air, I mean, that's... Yeah. That's insane to say. You never see something like that on wide cable release.
You know what I thought was really interesting too,
HBO.
Is how they shot that, because they were, you know, she obviously opens the door and sees them, but they were so far away,
mm-hmm.
in this big so old room, away. Very, very far away.
It was shocking, and it was, at first, you weren't sure what was going on, like, and then as soon as you saw it, you
like, whoa,
it was
okay.
Undeniable what was going
yeah.
on.
That's not really traumatic for a kid to see at that age, right? No?
What? No, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
was looking for
That's
her
why they
keys,
allow like, it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, nah, she won't be traumatized at all. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Especially from this guy, who she was having a
well,
relationship
you, well,
with.
Mind you, this is Sally, who... You know, all of her past with her friend staying at the friend's yeah. house watching TV. Or, I mean, just this whole show, it's been very awkward with sex with certain characters. It's been...
On that weird. Note,
let's...
Commercial?
Yeah, let's yeah, because I need
the
a break
sexy
now.
Commercial?
Yeah,
please, exactly.
Please go
that
to the
wonderful
sexy
break.
I need a break.
After Buzz TV. After Buzz TV.
I was once like you. A lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And, like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then, I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzz TV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds. Like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzz TV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series with over 60 different aftershows from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
All right, we are back.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So,
oh
where,
my God.
Where do we see this going?
Oh, wow, they revealed so much.
They always do. First of all, I'm going to say this right now, that Lane has to be in the next episode.
Oh, yeah.
We've gone two episodes now without any interaction with Lane.
Yeah, and the last time
he's
we saw
one
him,
of my
he
favorite
beat up
characters.
Pete. We haven't seen Pete very much
we
either.
We haven't seen the response. We haven't seen the real reaction
yeah, the
to that.
Fallout.
And he's one of my favorite characters, and he needs to come back. I mean,
yeah.
I think that also... I believe just the little clips that we saw, I have see there's might be something to do with, you know, people competing for the same client. I mean, you see Megan run in and make a phone call in a certain phone booth, and then later on you see Pete in the same phone booth.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be some kind of connection there. Of course, last week when Joan had her line, "Do you want to come in and shut the door?" I thought she was talking to Lane or Roger.
Yeah, exactly.
Not Peggy.
No.
And
so
know,
that's why I don't even. I just watch them because they're so ridiculous that you can't glean anything from them.
Exactly.
No, so it's just generic predictions.
The only thing that I have, it's not even specific, but I know they're going to take Roger. Last week's episode was called Faraway Places. Mm-hmm. They talked about, he even mentioned this when he was talking to his former wife, that I've never been farther.
Yeah.
In this trip, he was talking about farther. They also talked about the moon. Anyway, my point is they're obviously taking on a trip. The trip just started with the LSD when he had a trip, and now they're really going to take his character to a faraway place. That's my only thing.
And Megan's on a trip as well. She's at the beginning of hers.
That's at the beginning, exactly. She's on an arc herself. And Don is on his downward, I think. He's just continuing this.
Anything for you guys?
That's it. We got anything else?
Well, tweet me at Undergaro.
There you go. Josh?
Tweet me at JJG32.
Tweet me at Angry Birds. Phil?
Are you really?
No, that's not his Twitter. And of course, you can follow us here at AfterBuzzTV.com.
Yes. Please keep your comments and your rates coming. We appreciate it so much. We thank you very much for that. We want to Ellen Butler, thank you for your comment this last week with the Howard Johnson. And anything else before we say goodnight?
Please go to Amazon through AfterBuzzTV.com. Click on that banner and bye, bye, bye. Keep us on the air.
And speaking of bye, 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 we are out of here.
Out of here.
Well, one last thing. Dancing with the Stars. I know many of you probably love dancing. So help support us by showing love to Maria. Just, you know, you can text and vote for her that way on ABC's Dancing with the Stars. Keep her there so we can stay here.
Yes.
All right. Anyway. Thanks very much for listening.
Bye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
to watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.